Hey folks, Tim Plett here. You are in for a treat. Wally Chartrand, the Indigenous knowledge keeper that shares the teachings in these next few episodes, is somebody that is part of the community at the table and who graciously agreed to share both some insight into these teachings in general and also into their impact in their own journey with us as a community. And they're just way too good to keep to ourselves, so to speak. I'm so delighted we get to share this way. Now, if you are listening to this intro, that means you are listening to the podcast version of this. The original was a live stream version, so it had visuals, and they were very helpful. I mean, Wally's describing the medicine wheel, and he has the objects and the symbols that carry the knowledge and the meaning of the medicine wheel laid out in front of him on the floor, and he refers to them throughout the conversation. If you're listening to the audio, you won't necessarily have that advantage. So, two things. We've posted some pictures from the first episode's taping on the website. So, if you visit thetablewinnipeg.com and you find the podcasts and you go to episode one, you will have access to some pictures of what Wally's describing. You just have to scroll down a little bit, perhaps, in the actual blurb, the written blurb that describes the episode, and then you'll find those photos. Secondly, if you wish, you could also, if you're not already a member of the Table Church Facebook group, you could join that group and then you could watch the entire episode visually because it's posted there as well. So a couple of ways you can add visuals to this. The only other thing I'm going to say, and then we're just going to hand it over to Wally here, is that because of the length of these initial Facebook live streams and the limitations of what we can post for podcasts, we divided this up into episodes. So there are two episodes that take care of what would have been live stream number one of two. So in this one, Wally covers what he calls the first 300 years of history in some ways, both the ancient sort of history of the Circle of Life or Medicine Wheel, and also the way those teachings kind of have been impacted by colonization. And then in the subsequent episodes, he'll cover what he calls the next 30 years, his personal story and the way these teachings have had an enormously powerful, life-changing, positive impact in his own journey. That's all I'm going to say. Over to Wally. Thanks for listening. It's good to be with you. Peace.
So just stay where you are for now. Thank you. Das Mangenyen Duwede. Before I speak to these songs, I thought this morning, I thought we'd start off with that smudging ceremony that some of us may have participated in before, or maybe some of us have heard before. But before I light this medicine, a long time ago when I was new to the circle, people would bring out these medicines, they would light them, pass them around. But because I was new, I didn't know too much, so I would always watch. And I kind of got the idea that we're inviting something, that we're sending something away. So I got that part of it. But I never knew why they would use the different medicines in this ceremony. So I always promised myself that if I ever led that circle, that I would take time to talk about that medicine before I led it. So today we're going to use sage. And one of the teachings that comes with this medicine, it belongs to the women. It's a woman's medicine. And it represents three things. Number one, it represents wisdom, because it's the women who carry that wisdom for the nation. Number two, it represents strength, because again, it's the women who are strong for the nation. Anytime that there's a wrong, unjust done for us as indigenous people, who is always at the front? It's always the women at the front, and it's up to us men to support them. Number three, it represents clarity or vision, because again, it's the women who have that vision for the nation. So this morning, as we begin our day, as we take that little bit of time to cleanse that mind, that body, that spirit, maybe just take a little moment and just maybe just think about wisdom. Think about it in terms of that road that you've been walking, however long you've been walking your road. A lot of times good things happen along that journey, sometimes not so good things. And it's going to be up to us to learn from those. Eh? So maybe take a moment, think about even just this past year. What have you learned about yourself? What have you learned about life? Eh? So maybe just take a moment, think about that. That's what we call wisdom. As you think about strength, think about the road you're walking right now. What kind of strength do you need today to walk your road, whatever that road looks like for you? We got all kinds of things coming at us, at home, at work, in our friendships, in the community. We got all kinds of things coming at us, and sometimes it takes a lot of strength just to wake up in the morning and to face that day. Yeah? So maybe just take a moment, think about that. And as you think about clarity or vision, imagine yourself 5, 10, 20, 30 years from now, what are you going to look like? But I'm not talking wrinkles, but what kind of human being do you wish to become? So maybe take a moment and think about those three things as I light this medicine. The last thing I want to say is by us using this medicine this morning, we're also taking a little bit of time to think about and to acknowledge and honor our mothers, our grandmothers, our aunties, our nieces, our daughters, our partners, all women, eh? And granddaughters, right? All women. That includes also then those missing and murdered indigenous women and girls as well, especially their families who today are still trying to find closure, trying to find answers. Eh? So let's take a moment, think about all those families out there that are struggling as well too before we begin. Last thing I just want to say, it's not for us to say that you have to partake anytime you're in a circle like this when that medicine is lit. We don't force in that, right? So the protocol usually when that bowl comes around is you simply tap it, eh? And that'll let that person know to move to the next person. So this first song I sang to you this morning, and that I first heard that at a Sundance many years ago in a community called Sagging First Nation, which is approximately about an hour north of Winnipeg here. But anyways, when I first heard that song, it touched my heart. I'm not sure why, but it touched me. So anyways, when we were given a little break, I called over that man that had been singing the song at the big drum, and I offered him some tobacco, and I asked if I could learn that song, if I'd be able to use it. So he gave me that permission to use that song. But anyways, he told that song was gifted to his family from up west in Alberta somewhere. That's where that song originally came from. He was singing it at another gathering in Sioux Valley many years back. And when he was done there in Sioux Valley, those people there, they said, "Oh, that's a pretty song. What's the name of that song you just shared?" And he realized that it didn't have a name. So those people there in Sioux Valley, they gave it a name. So that first song I sang for you this morning, today we call that song the Pepsi Cola song. Eh? But simply, it's a welcoming song. It's a welcoming song, right? And it's our way to welcome us into the circle today. That second song I sang, that one we call a bear song. And in that song, the words are very simple. Manitou makwa kapenago zien. What we're saying through that first part of that song is that we can see those grandmother, grandfather spirits. We can see that they're walking towards us from all four directions. And when I say grandmother, grandfather spirits, I'm talking about all our ancestors that have already gone ahead of us. So as we see them walking towards us from all four directions, we say to them, Manitou makwa pejeni mishinam, we say. We say to them, come and bless us. But it's through that song that we take a little bit of time this morning to acknowledge that every one of us, we all need healing from time to time. Healing in how we think about others, anger, envy, jealousy, how we think about ourselves sometimes. Oh, I can't do anything right, I'm not smart enough, I'm no good. Or maybe just the way we think about life. What's my purpose? Why am I here? So it's to acknowledge that our thinking, our way of thinking, sometimes needs healing. Sometimes our bodies, it too needs that healing. All of us, we all carry illnesses in our bodies. Myself personally, I have arthritis in my lower back. I had a heart attack about 15 years ago. Diabetes is the number one disease today amongst indigenous people. So our minds, our bodies need that healing from time to time. But sometimes our spirit, it too needs that healing. Because sometimes we can't see that road we need to be walking. Sometimes, again, you know, we lose faith, we give up, we want to give up on life. So it's to acknowledge that our spirits also need healing. But it's also through that second song that we acknowledge not only do we need that healing, but every one of us, we all carry that gift. And that's that gift to heal others. Sometimes it's how we choose to use our words. When we say kind things, good things to somebody, we can lift them up a little bit. Sometimes all it takes is a hug. Maybe all it takes is an ear sometimes. When we take that little bit of time to listen, even if we don't have the answer, we can help that person feel like, you know, that they're worthy of our time when we do those things. So that's that second song I sang. It's to acknowledge that we all need healing, but we also carry that gift, and that's that gift to heal others. That third and final song I sang, that one we call Creator Song. And in that song, again, the words are simple. Thank you, Creator. But it's through that song that we take a little bit of time before we begin our day to say thank you to those grandmother, grandfather spirits, because they're the ones that guide us every day. It's through that song that we take a little bit of time to say thank you to her. We call her Gimama Nana Ke, we call her Mother Earth, because she's the one that carries us every day. It's through that song that we take a little bit of time this morning also to say Miigwech, thank you to Creator, to God, because it's Creator that watches over all of life. So, having said that, you know, mouthful of thoughts, welcome, 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 welcome. Kichanishinaabek, the old people, they tell us, a long time ago. When we tell a story, we never start a story with once upon a time. For us, our stories are real. A long time ago, the people, they came together. They came together for that ceremony of ceremonies. We call it the dance of life. Today they know it as a sun dance. But in that ceremony, us men, we had a responsibility. And in that ceremony, the women, they too had a responsibility. Our responsibility was to go into the forest, go and cut down that mitiganabe, that tree of life that we would erect at the center of that ceremony. Our role also was to go into the forest and cut the trees that we would use to build that lodge where we would have that ceremony. The women's responsibility was to go into the forest and peel the bark off the trees that they would use to tie that lodge together. Their role also was to prepare the feast food that they would all share as part of that ceremony. So as the men were going off to go and get that mitiganabe, the little boys, they came following the men. Those men turned to those boys and said to the boys, you're going to be in the way, we have lots to do, go play, and they shooed them away. As the women too were making their preparations, the little girls, they came following the women. Those women turned to those little girls and asked, "What are you doing, little girls? We're coming to help you," they said. "No, no, you little girls. You're going to be in the way. We have lots to do, very little time. Go play." And they shooed them away. Sure enough, those men, they brought out that Mitigunabe, they dressed it up, and they erected it. They built that lodge, tying it together with the bark that the women had brought. A huge feast was prepared outside that lodge. All those women gathered around, all the men on the other side. They were just about ready to have that last meal before the ceremony began, when the little girls, the little boys, they came squeezing in between the adults. But once again, somebody turned to those children and said, "You children, this food, this water, that's for the dancers. Don't you realize that they're going to give up this food, this water, so the rest of us can have life? You children can wait a little while longer. Go and play." And again, they shooed them away. So after everybody had their fill, all those women come filing in, all the men on the other side into that lodge. There was a big drum there with some men sitting around. They were just about ready to start that ceremony when all the little girls come filing in, all the men on the little boys on the other side. And once again, somebody turned to those children and said, "You children, this is a very sacred ceremony. This is no place for you to be running around, fooling around, making noise. You can go do that at the camp." And again, they shooed them away. Sure enough, that big drum had started. Women on that side, men on this side, with their eagle whistles. Four days and four nights they danced and they prayed to that tree of life. Finally, on the fourth day, as that ceremony came to an end, a huge feast was prepared outside that lodge once again. All those women come filing out, all the men on the other side. They were just about ready to begin that celebration when they noticed that the kids weren't there. Ah, they must be at the camp. Somebody ran, returned, and reported that there were no kids at the camp. So, of course, this alarmed all the adults. Well, we can't have the celebration without them. We need to find them. So they began to look in the forest, in the fields. This man, he came up to this hill, and as he started to climb that hill, he could hear faint. Got louder and louder and louder. Finally, he got to the top of that hill. Just on the other side, this small little Mitigunabe, this small little lodge with a little drum and little boys sitting there, little girls on that side, little boys on this side with their little eagle whistles. And that's the way that story is told. And we all take different meaning from that story. And the most common is that we have to involve our children. We need to involve our children. But one of the other ways I take that story also is, aren't we all Creator's children, right? And if so, then all of this belongs to all of us. Eh? And that's why, as indigenous people, I believe we share what's under Mother Earth, we share what's on top Mother Earth, and we share what's above Mother Earth. We share our teachings, we share our knowledge of those medicines, our songs, our ceremonies even, because we know that they don't just belong to us, and that's part of why we share. Now, the only unfortunate thing about sharing sometimes is sometimes somebody will come along, they'll take that, and they'll go and twist it up. And what I mean by that is sometimes I'll walk into a store here in Winnipeg, sweetgrass, $7.95, sage, half price today, $4.50. Well, what did it cost those people, right? Possibly a little bit of tobacco, eh? But now they're filling their pockets, eh? And that's unfortunate when we see those things, eh? So I don't know if you remember this, now going probably about 10 years back, this guy in Sedona, Arizona, he must have attended one of our ceremonies, right? So he got it into his head, and what did he do? He built this huge structure, like a sweat lodge structure, right? He crammed 60-some people in there. Three of those people ended up dying in there, right? Because he didn't know what he was doing, right? But he was charging them $10,000 a head, eh? For that week-long growth experience, he called it, personal development experience, eh? And again, it's unfortunate when we hear those things, right? It's sad when we hear those things. But still we share, eh? Still we share. K'chanishinabek, the old people, they tell us, on the clearest, darkest of nights, eh? We look up into the heavens here and we count those hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of stars. They say that's how many teachings there are in those circle of life teachings. Eh? Some people know them as medicine wheel teachings. So this morning I thought I would share a little bit of those teachings with you, because I only know a little bit of them. Imagine if I knew all those teachings, how wise I'd be, right? But I know some of them, so I thought I would share some of them with you. K'chanishnabek, the old people, they tell us that life begins right here. And that's these first nine grandfathers right here. That first 9 months in our mother's womb. Mejekamik, a long time ago, they said there was teachings here for those men ready to be fathers, those women ready to be mothers. There was teachings all along here to prepare for that part of the journey. So, for example, his father, his grandfather, or maybe even his uncle would take him aside, and he'd be told all those things that he would need to do during this period over here. He was told how to talk to his partner, how not to talk to her, all for the sake that this part of the journey would be good. So he was told how to provide for her, how to look after her, how to protect her, even how to love her during this time, all for the sake that this part of the journey would be good. Her mother would take her aside, her grandma, maybe her auntie would take her aside, and she too would be told all those things that she would need to do to ensure that this journey would be good. She would be told what she could bring into her body, what not to bring in during that time she carried. So for example, she might have been told, drink lots of white fish broth soup. And the reason for that was, it was to help that little brain that was developing inside of her belly, and that fetus, right? Child development, right? Omega-3s we call it today, right? And how it connects to brain development. We knew that long time ago, before there were even books on child development, the importance of developing that little brain. Or else she might have been told, drink lots of raspberry tea. And the reason for that was because when it was time to deliver over here, she'd be that much stronger, and the baby would be that much stronger too. Because this part of the journey can be very difficult sometimes, right? It can be very hard, not only on her, but also on the baby as well. So they did all those things to help prepare this part of the journey. She'd be told, yeah, you can walk over here while you're carrying, but don't walk over there. So she would be told which ceremony she could still attend and which one she shouldn't during that period. So back home where I come from, for example, when a woman is carrying with child, she's discouraged. Sometimes she's even told not to attend a wake when somebody has passed away, right? Or else she might be told maybe you shouldn't go to that funeral when they're doing the burial. And the reason for that is because the belief is that spirit is just leaving. But the thing about spirits is that sometimes when they leave, sometimes they might invite another spirit to come with them, right? So that was the reason. It was all for protecting that little one over here. But that's this stage right here, that first 9 months. We call it that stage of great mystery. These next grandfathers over here, these seven right here, the red ones, those ones represent that next stage of life after we're born. And this is that childhood stage. But again, the old people, they don't call it that. This one over here, we call that stage of great learning. Because everything we learn along here prepares us the rest of that journey over there. I remember picking up a book at a library many years ago. Everything you wanted to know about life you learned in kindergarten. Made a lot of sense, this book, right? Because this is where we first learned to be in relationship, how to share our toys, right? Or else how to problem solve when we're not wanting to share our toys. All those things we learn over here prepares us the rest of that journey over there. But again, a long time ago, there was teachings right from here for little boys, teachings here for little girls, and there were also teachings here for two spirit as well. And that's an important thing, and the two spirits. And I just want to say very quickly why that was important for us a long time ago is because a two spirit person walked on both sides. And because they were able to walk on both sides, they had much more medicine. about who they were as a human being, right? Because they were able to walk on both sides of that road, right? So again, long time ago, they were important to us as indigenous people. But anyways, there was teachings right from here, like I said, for both sides and also for the two spirits. So one of the teachings I just wanted to share with you, and that is that teaching that happens for all of us, every one of us, the moment we're born. Eh? And that's that teaching of loss and grief. Eh? That's the very, very first teaching we all learn, they say, as soon as the moment we're born, is the teaching of loss and grief. Now here's the thing, right? When a child is born, when a baby is first born, what's the first thing they do? Right away, as soon as they're born, they begin crying, right? We hear them crying, eh? And they say why they're crying is because they've just experienced loss and grief. Eh? Imagine, right, while they were in their mother's belly, it was all warm, it was all safe, all their food was being met, eh? Anything and everything that they could possibly need and want, right, was met during that period. But then all of a sudden they come into this world where it's cold, it's noisy, everybody's blurry, right? So what do? They cry, right? Because now they've just experienced that loss and grief. And the reason that teaching is important for all of us is because throughout the rest of our journey, many times over, we will experience that loss and grief in many ways, right? So that's why, again, that was an important teaching right off as soon as we were born. Now, that baby might be about 2 weeks or 3 weeks old, that little cord, the umbilical cord, it falls off of them, right? But us, we wouldn't take that cord and simply throw it in the garbage. The old people, they would take that cord, they would go into the forest, they would find a tree that had fallen, and on that stump, they would place that cord on, along with their tobacco and their prayers, all for the sake that that little one would always know where they're going in life. Because the belief was that if we just simply threw it away, that we would go through life like this, they say, looking for a belly button. So I've done that ceremony for all my children as well. Every time they were born, after they were born, when their cords fell off, I would go in the bush, find a tree, and I would put their cords on a stump along with a little bit of tobacco, my prayers. Because as a father, I want my children to always know where they're going in life. And if for whatever reasons today, if any of my kids should ever come to me and say, "Dad, I'm feeling lost," here's what I can do. I can take them by the hand and I can lead them into the forest and I can say, "Here's where I put it right here." Because again, as a father, I want them to always know where they're going in life. But the other teaching that came with that cord, by placing that cord close to where they were born, what it ended up doing is it ended up creating roots for that child, in that community from which they came. Because eventually that cord becomes part of the earth, right, wherever we placed it. So in that sense, it created roots for us. Eh? My roots are in a little community called Mallard. Eh? That's where I grew up. Eh? Even though I've not lived there since 1977, my roots are still in that little community. Because that's where my first memories come from as a child, right? So the idea of community has always been important. Eh? But that's that teaching. Eh? It came with that, right? So anyways, after maybe about a month or two, that mother, she'll take that baby and she'll wrap it up in a little bunting bag. She'll tie that to a board securely and she'll place that baby standing up in that, right? And we call that one the Tiganagan, the cradle board, right? But there was a teachings that came with that as well. And one of the first ones in that is once she was able to do that, now her hands are free, right? To look after the rest of her responsibilities at home, to look after the rest of her home, her family, right? And while she was doing that, while she was busy, she would just look over and baby's perfectly safe, right? But the other teaching that comes with that, again, when a child is born, right, our children, when you look at them, they don't have no what we call fine motor skills, right? They're like this. They're all over the place in that, right? But now that baby's arms are tied like this, eh, they're in that cradle board, now all they have is their eyes and their ears, right? child development. Before there were even books, we knew the importance again of giving that child, you know, that head start, because now all they have is their eyes, their ears, they're paying attention to everything that's happening, taking in all that information, right? So again, that was important. After a while, maybe about a year, maybe 14 months, that child learns how to walk. But before they would let that child run around on the grass, we would have a ceremony for that. That one we call that walking out ceremony, right? But it was, again, to teach that child. Now take a moment and think about this, right? When that child was only 1 year old, we already began teaching that child that very first sacred teaching, that sacred law of respect, right? That we need to respect her, Mother Earth, right? Before we let them run around on her own outside. Now, something we've forgotten today as parents and that, unfortunately, right? Because again, you know, to see evidence that we've not done that well enough today is we just have to open a paper in the morning, somebody's took somebody's life again. Because some of our young people, they're growing up not having learned those teachings. But a long time ago, that was important, right? That we teach our children early. But anyways, there was teachings here all along the way on both sides and on the two-spirit side as well. These next grandfathers, the white ones over here, those ones represent that those teenagers, adolescents, right? But us, again, we don't call it that. This one over here, we call it a fast life. Get over here somewhere, 12 or 13 years old. We want to be over there. Can't tell me what to do, right? I'll dress the way I want, right? I'll pick my own friends. I'll go to bed when I want. I'll get up. Don't worry about it, eh? Because by the time we get here, we know it all already. We want to be over there. I remember growing up back home when I was around that age, my cuckoo, sometimes when she would take me into Dauphin. And if I was really lucky, she'd take me into the old Woolworth store and I'd walk out with a brand new pair of jeans, right? And the first thing I'd do when I got home, I'd go into the kitchen, take the scissors and cut all my jeans up, right? Designer jeans, eh? But us, we used to make our own, right? We used to make our own. Today, they're what, $300, $400, right? When you go into a department store. But I remember back then, walking around in my little community in the middle of January, on a weekend, on a Saturday night with my buddies, right? My cut jeans, my long johns, my little white t-shirt, my little blue jean jacket, right? But at least I was cool, right? Because I knew it all already, right? But that's why we call this one that fast life stage. But again, Mejeka Mik, a long time ago, there was teachings here for those youth that were ready to be men, those young women, girls that were ready to be women. There was teachings them, for them, along again with the two-spirit. So, for example, when that boy turned maybe 12 or 13, they would take him outside his community to a very special area, and they would go and leave him overnight, maybe two nights, maybe even up to four nights, without food, without water, all for the sake that during that period, that he would have a dream, a vision. And in that dream, his spirit helper, his guide, would come to him. And that would be the one that would take him the rest of that journey over there. By the time that boy was 14 or 15, he already belonged to one of the societies within his community, whichever societies that community had. Maybe it was the hunting society, maybe it was a medicine society, or maybe even it was a warrior society. Dependent upon his gifts, whatever gifts he had, he already belonged to one of the societies in his community. Unfortunately, what do we do with our youth today? Ah, you're in the way. Get out of the way. And at the end of the day, we wonder why they're messed up sometimes, why they behave the way they do. Maybe that's part of it, right? Maybe that's part of it. Because we don't give them a place within our family. We don't give them a place within our community. But again, long time ago, it was important that we do that. Growing up in my little community, there was this elder that lived down the road from my grandma's house. And on weekends, my grandma would send me over there to go and bring in wood, to go and fetch water for her from the lake. Because Pauline, she was a widow, right? She lived alone in my community. But it gave me purpose, right? It gave me purpose to go and help her. And it made me feel good, right? But again, that's why today, right, we don't create those opportunities for our youth today, whether it's in our own families or in our community. But anyways, there was teachings here all along the way as well. There was teachings here for those girls. Obviously, I can't share those teachings because I'm not a woman, right? But there was teachings here for them as well. These next grandfathers over here, the yellow ones, those ones represent those that next stage of life, that adult stage. Eh? And again, the old people tell us in that, again, there was teachings here. Eh? We would have learned some of those roles and responsibilities over here. But anyways, the old people, they call this stage that stage of great responsibility. Eh? That's that stage over there. Because when we get over there somewhere, that's where we come together with that other person. I don't know about you and that, eh? But I remember the first time I ever fell in love. Oh, I could not sleep. I could not eat for about a week or two, right? I just wanted to spend 24/7 with her. But after about a week or two, I started eating again. I started sleeping again. Eh? So what I noticed is that that love, it starts wearing off a little bit. But then this is where responsibility kicks in, right? Because now I got to nurture that love, just like a flower, right? Because that's what we call responsibility, right? Guys come over Friday and that, right? Come on, let's go play hockey. I can't just jump up and put on my clothes and walk out the door. No, now I got to ask, right? Because maybe she has plans too, right? But that's what we call responsibility. After a while, we'll walk like that and things are going pretty good. So now what do? So now we invite that new life. Eh? Next thing we know, we got that little one totally dependent upon us, right? To feed it, to clothe it, to nurture, to protect, to love. Responsibility, eh? But that's why they call this that stage of great responsibility. But again, the old people would tell us that we would have learned those over here somewhere, eh? Before we even got involved with that other person. We would have learned all those things already, eh? And there was teachings here all along the way that showed us what those roles and responsibilities would be. This last stage over here, that's that elder stage, right? But again, the old people, they don't call it that. This one over here, they call that stage of great wisdom. Because when you really stop to think about it, right, you've traveled all the way from here and you've experienced all those things that life has to offer you. So by the time you get over here somewhere, right, you have this wealth of knowledge. Eh? So now you become the teacher. Eh? Now it's up to you to pass that knowledge on. But again, long time ago, we would have learned those things around here somewhere early on. When to do that, right? How to do that, eh? When it was appropriate to do that. We would have learned all those things over here somewhere. Eh? But that's why this one over here, we call that stage of great wisdom. Now these grandfathers over here, down the two centers, this first one over here, it represents that what we call Minupimadizian, we call it. We call it the good life. Eh? And this is that road they say we walk when we practice those seven sacred teachings of love, respect, honesty, humility, courage, wisdom, and truth. When we walk in that way, they say we're walking upon that road right there. This other road over here, we call this one Majjhimikkhana, we call it. We call it the bad road. Eh? And this is when we abuse alcohol, drugs, family violence, lying, stealing, cheating. When we walk that way, they say we're walking upon that road as well. But again, the old people, they remind us that just as there's teachings on this road, there are also teachings on this road as well. So what they mean by that, for example, alcohol, they say, is a medicine. Heroin is a medicine. Cocaine is a medicine. Anything that comes from the earth is a medicine. But what happens when we don't respect that medicine? It can come back to hurt us, right? And that's what, again, today we see and experience in our families, in our community, is that people have not respected those medicines. Eh? But that's what these grandfathers over here represent.